Man, you come straight out of a coma.
Having bars.
Man.
Man, those be having bars, bro.
Where did that lead you?
Back to me.
You cannot live with your own failures.
Where did that lead you?
As long as there are those that remain, we'll never be able to live with the fact of what can be.
I will shred this little planet.
I will shred this universe to its last atom. And rebuild the new one. I was like, what's crazy? He did it.
He did it.
Yeah.
He definitely did. Let's never forget that. The white man had to go back in time and cheat.
Right.
To win.
Yeah. You know what's funny? He gave himself a little mental slow clap. He said, what happened? He said, I won.
The fact that a little nuance like Nebula going back was able to see, like, damn, oh shit, I'm gonna win again.
Yeah.
I want to see everything.
He was rolling dice with the little pebbles. He was like,
Bro, he was legit an old black man. The way he sat down, that's like Pop sitting down,
I knew it when he was on Titan, and he said, and Dr. Strange asked him, he said, and then what after that? He said, I finally rest and watch the sunrise in the grateful universe. I'm like, that man's 87 years old, and you know, his name is Ben.
All he wanted was peace and quiet.
Yeah, you know,
it's too many people running in and out this universe. I need to get rid of half of y'all.
He was like, listen, fuck all of this trying to do the racism, trying to class everything. Look here, cut it in half. Kill all of them, and then let's go from there. Because then nobody ever mentions when he was talking about, when he was talking to Gamora, he was like, do you know what your planet is like ever since I did that?
Yeah.
People are blossoming. Ain't nobody hungry.
Don't nobody know. They don't know what starving is and nothing.
Right. Nothing. Everybody got money. Everybody smoking. Everybody watching this shit right now. You think they don't have these movies?
We cover her head though after start shooting.
I got a crack.
Don't look at this.
But like, you know these dead bodies was right there before you brought her up here to show her this knife.
Right? I have a question. When Thanos snaps his fingers, how does he choose who, like, outside of, like, how do you choose who goes and who stays?
I thought it was
random.
Yeah, it was at random.
Random. Yeah. That's why. So really it was like, how did the people in Marvel MCU decide that? Because for him, the stones itself decided that.
I got one even worse. I think that this is a plot hole. When people came back, can you imagine the chaos? As in, we don't have enough food now.
Yeah. No. They tackle that in two series. They talk about it. They really talk about it in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Because they got the GRC and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, they talk about it there. They kind of mention it in Far From Home. Was it Far From Home in Spider-Man Far From Home when everybody came? But they really tackle it. If you have not watched the Falcon and the Winter Soldier show,
they really tackle it.
And then
if you're living your life minimum, as in like, oh, we had a mansion, now we're in a studio apartment. But now everyone comes back, it's like mansion lifestyle. The world will be overpopulated. It's like, where are we supposed to go? It'd be so many homeless people. People are out of shape, like that. You know, it'll be.
And you
so got to
remember,
chaos.
He wiped out half the population. Like, don't forget at the beginning of Endgame, or not the beginning, but in the middle or the part of Endgame where you see New York and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it says 5 years later. You know, Captain America said, like, I saw whales in the Hudson.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because the environment, you know what I mean? There's
the environment was open. It was open. And then, you really get a sense of it in WandaVision, too, when they show what's the name come back. And when she snaps back in the hospital. And you
Rambo.
See all the,
Maria Rambo.
Yeah. And you see all the chaos.
Rambo.
Yeah.
Rambo.
Yeah.
But here's what they did not talk about, and they slick for this. Now, we all know. Then none of them people cut that damn light bill off. They kept that shit running for 5 years. The Verizon bills kept going.
Yep.
And I don't give a fuck what they say. Hey, I know somebody snapped back 5 years and was like, hey, I know you've been gone, but
you still got bad credit. You still got bad credit, my guy.
You didn't tell us that you weren't renewing, so we kept your contract going.
There was a failing business that was like, when everybody snapped back, he had said, Randolph. we're back.
And also, another thing
that all the niggas show, back, bring back, that money. Baby.
The other thing they didn't show is the one person who capitalized off it, because you got to know, like, once everybody snapped, like, if you had a bank and like half the people snapped, somebody was like, yo, hit that motherfucker, vote up, dog.
No, but they actually did show that. So the first person they showed that really benefited off of that, and I don't think a lot of people catch, was Moon Knight. Yep. Mark Spector is the one that shows he profited off of that. Because remember the end where he drove off? We show that the Spector company is real. Yeah. So he did profit off of that. And I hope that they show how he got all of that in season 2.
Right.
But that's not what we're here
for. We're not here for that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Straight Out of a Comic Book. I am Will Farrow, and on today's episode, we are talking Marvel, but we are talking about a particular film getting ready to come out next month for the summer, Thor, Love, and Thunder. And of course, I got Young Deuce, Clint Coley with me, and of course, Dion the Thormonger. Shout out to CT. As y'all know, if you've watched the show, CT does not watch Marvel trailers. He does not watch trailers at all, so he wants to have the full vision when he goes to the movies. But we know you want to talk about it. We want to talk about it. So we are here today to talk about Love and Thunder. So the first thing I want to ask you, fellas, and we can start off with Deuce, your reaction to the trailer. Thor, Love, and Thunder.
So, kind of similar to CT, I only watched one trailer. So, I was waiting for this trailer so much because I was already geeked from, like, the little bit that they gave us at the end of Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So, I was like, all right, so if they're going to give us that, I was like, all right, I can't wait until the full trailer comes. And so, a lot of the trailer was still similar to that. But then we get the Gore the God Slayer. Gore the God Butcher. And that glimpse of it got me so geeked, because I was like, yo, he looks like a God Butcher. Like, that nigga looked like he's ready to fuck some shit up. So, like, that amplified my excitement for this movie and this trailer, man. I'm loving the direction that they've taken Thor. I think we talked about it last time, how they kind of shifted Thor from the extreme serious to having.
I saw the first trailer, and, you know, we look into your eyes and blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, the trailer that Marvel dropped about a week ago, where I was like, wow. The first trailer, I wasn't interested. I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, this looks goofy. Like, that's what I said. I was like, this looks goofy. I was like, this looks like it's about to be. And I'm not saying that on some, like, I didn't really like the first two Thor films. I did enjoy Ragnarok. I thought Ragnarok was great. So, like, when it comes to Thor films, honestly, I don't expect much. So I was like, okay, this is about to be a goofy film. Then when I saw the trailer with Gore the God Butcher and saw the trailer, like, now that I'm seeing, like, oh, wow, like, there's an actual plot to the story of what's going on and what's happening. Now I'm like, okay. And then me now also taking in who Jane Foster is, because he mentions her more than one time, and we'll get to that later. He mentions her a few times in Endgame. And I do think now the story, like, I'm just now seeing, like, okay, Marvel's really pushing this Young Avengers novel. I want to see how Jane Foster's about to come out of this. And I also want to see what's about to happen next. Because it looks like they're retiring our old heroes and bringing in new ones.
Yep. Dion, what about yourself?
First off, I would like to say that trailers are important. They're like foreplay.
They are.
We got to see what we're getting into before we jump into that movie. You got to get your dick wet, man. Come on.
Just a little bit of dick wet.
Oh, okay. That's what we're doing before we get up in here? Do I need to wear a condom before I go in the theater? That's all I want to know. So I absolutely love the trailer. I'm curious to know what the black and white is about. I know the direction where they're going. The reason why they have the actual gods in there, the Zeuses and the Dionysus, I know why they got them in there, because they're about to get slayed. He's going to butcher them.
Yes.
Zeus is out of here.
Right.
I feel like they're all out of there. That whole spot
them all out. And he's going to have to be the god. But what I notice is Love and Thunder, when it comes to gods, those are the two things that people pray for. Either God, help me with this. Help me with my family, my loved ones. Help me. Is it like love or thunder? Strike this person down. So I think it's going to be Gore going to be the one is like, it's going to be love. It's going to be the Thor, and the thunder is going to be, I said Thor. Yeah, Thor. I hate that they rhyme, their names rhyme. Thor right. is going to be the love, and Gore is going to be the thunder, and it's going to be a nice little clash right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why that's one piece from that.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, so I also saw the trailer, and then realized that I did say that I would stop watching trailers. I like to say I'm full of shit because I'm not going to stop watching trailers.
Yeah,
stop. But what I will say to this quick PSA, Marvel. You gonna stop wasting Easter eggs with trailers, okay? You gonna stop doing that. Like yeah. D.I. said, trailers are foreplay. Look, I done already bust my load watching that movie. Don't come tickle my balls afterwards and throw a load of thunder. Don't you do that. I don't like it. Just get me a wet towel and let me wait for the next time to try.
Hey.
You give me Easter eggs. Don't you waste that. But I am glad that they came out with a second one and they did show Gore the God Butcher because, like y'all said, there's a lot in there that they are showing that I think it's going to open up a lot of stuff. And I just like, again, that they brought the same director in for Ragnarok from just as we've always mentioned, like the way that they've now changed the universe itself to where it's more colorful, it has more personality to it rather than it did with the first two Thor films. So I always look forward to that. I look forward to see where everybody's at now, seeing Jane here. But like something that really got me that makes me think about this, and that's what we're going to start transitioning to now of us really kind of dissecting the trailer where they're going. Something tells me there's more to this blip than we know. And I'm starting to think Jane Foster's sickness came from that blip.
Yep.
No. So here's what I think. So I'm glad you said that, right? So real quick, something in game happened. Remember when Thor and Rocket went back in time to get the Reality Stone, right?
Yeah.
Thor did something that people don't realize. He talked to his mother.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Before she dies, right? Mm-hmm. Now, his mom still dies. Jane was sick already. Well, Jane was already in Asgard or whatever, if you remember, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, you know what I'm saying? Whatever Thor told his mother, I got a feeling that she did something with Jane that made her the new Thor. I don't know what it is. I don't know if there was a spell. I don't know. Because there's no, like, don't forget, she was able to reclaim old Mjolnir. Like she has she's worthy.
Yeah.
You can't just get worthy. Like you gotta, you know what I'm saying? Especially worthy of his hammer. Mm-hmm. Whatever he did, I think whatever he did when he went back in time in 2013 and 2014 Asgard, that is what changed the future and why Jane is now technically Thor.
And why that makes sense, like I said, we already seen that in Loki. Like, where even though Endgame tried to say like the butterfly effect is not real, like that's what Hulk was trying to say. But we seen in Loki what happens when you change something; it goes off of the main timeline and things like that. And so we just, and then with so we don't know, like you said, the ramifications of what happened after everything, you know, after that blip. Like we know that like the world's been messed up and certain people they benefited from it, but like we don't know like the people who were impacted by it in like a negative way or a supernatural way or a special power way. And that I think is where we're going to get the first glimpse of that in here about what actually happened with the blip and how certain people were impacted by
I got it. From in the comic books, the way she got the powers is because she had cancer.
Yeah.
And they gave her this powers to get it out of her body. But she only could be Thor if when she got out of it, she had her cancer return.
Yeah, so, it only prolonged it. So it's kind of like how the Shazam effect is. Like in DC, if you stay, that's why Black Adam became evil, because he never Shazam back. But if he do now, he'll die, because he's pretty much already went past his time. The magic is what's keeping him alive.
Yeah. So I think the ether is going to be her cancer.
Yeah.
Because it was in her body.
Yeah.
So I think some remnants of it is going to be still in her, because everyone got affected. you know, all the people who got encountered with the or the Infinity Stone, they got affected somehow. Mm-hmm. It was literally in her body for days.
But hear me out.
All right, yeah, because I'm trying. Yeah, did she
hear me out though? This is another thing of what I see also could get tied into. Now, also remember Monica Rambeau's daughter.
Yes.
What I think is when these people blip. Because what MCU has also showed that folks don't really die. It's a transference of energy.
Yep.
So I think when people got blipped, they got blipped to the quantum realm. And ooh. I think that's where all, because again, when once you're in there, you start to take on a lot of these things. And I think that's where the chick from WandaVision, that's how her powers got activated. Of that stuff from the quantum realm.
Going through the portal, right? So yeah. you need something to trigger it. Like once you blip, it's in you. And until something triggers it,
that's going to be the same thing that happens with Ms. Marvel, technically, too.
Yeah, I think that's why the quantum worm of madness is why Ant-Man is going to have to go do that. Because we saw him taking in power from it with that machine before he got stuck in there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow, man. Damn. We made it crack the code. There we go. Wow. Look at here. On straight out of comic
quantum. Well, here's the thing. Quantum energy or quantum whatever is about to be really what's the quantum realm is about to play a big role in MCU
in the next
year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we know that's where the Citadel of Time was, right? At the end of time?
It was at the end of time. So it's like they're different. It's different layers into it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But Chronolopolis
is in there, right?
Yeah, but that's what something you had mentioned on the last episode that you were featuring. It was that's where you believe that we're going to see Nathan Richards be. That's where he discovers how to open these portals to another multiverse to meet himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I pray that the Eternals are in here somewhere.
Somewhere,
give me something. Right. Connected. All
No. So you know what? No. Actually, you're right, and I think it's because and y'all just brought this up because I think that is where the Eternals come in because I think just like how Clint said, Gore is gonna kill all the Olympians. Yeah. I think he's gonna kill all of them, and I think what's gonna happen is that's when we're gonna start getting introduced to the celestial beings, mm-hmm. like the Living Tribunal, Death, mm-hmm. and the Eternals are gonna have to replace them, and that's what the gods that control them. That's gonna be their solution for the Olympians is making them take their place. Because remember, their story is technically from Olympia, they really technically are supposed to have come from there.
And I wonder where in Gore's, like, where are we going to be placed at as far as his wrath? Because we already see, what's his name, Falagar, already slain. Like, that big monster that Thor's standing in front of, Thor didn't beat him. That was one of his allies. That was a god that got defeated by Gore. Yep. So,
And I think, what's the horse face dude?
Beta Ray Bill.
He's going to be in there. He has to be in there.
So here's my question with that. So I actually talked about that with another group of friends. Here, my question is, so just like how Clint said, we're in the terms of we're going out with the old and with the new. Mm-hmm. So we know in the comic books, Stormbreaker is technically Beta Ray Bill's weapon. And technically, Thor gets Mjolnir back from Odin. But in this MCU, Odin isn't there, so Odin doesn't create Stormbreaker for him. And now that we're seeing Jane as the Mighty Thor, is she taking his place and she's keeping Mjolnir? And are we saying bye to the original Thor, or is this a one-off of Jane and then Thor gets Mjolnir back?
I think we're gonna see Jane become Thor. I think we're about to see, it's about to be a brand new Avengers,
mm-hmm.
and I believe there's
the Young Avengers.
And they're going to take on somebody that they can't, like, they're going to take on somebody big, you know, this is all, I believe it's all going to connect. Now, here's what I want to see also. And this is what I like that Marvel did hide some things. We don't know the status of the Guardians of the Galaxy. And we do know that we have a Guardians of the Galaxy show or movie or show. Mm-hmm. There's a show.
They got a show
and they got a movie coming out next year.
And a Christmas special and the I Am Groot series too.
Yep. Right. So the question is, where does all of that, where do they, also, they didn't show Gamora.
Yeah. But we also know, And we also know too, though, just to throw that in there for you, to go with your point, that the director James Gunn said this is the last film with this set of Guardians of the Galaxy. But peep how he said it. This set,
of Guardians and, of the Galaxy. And so this is what I think, like in general, because like the whole Love and Thunder, like it seems like it's Thor trying to find his, like I think we talked about trying to find what he wants to do now, because and this is why I think that Jane's going to keep him on there, and then Stormbreaker is going to go to Beta Ray Bill, because Thor technically does not want to be a hero. Like he, like in his speech, he said, like, you know, I've done the hero thing. I'm trying to find my place and everything. And Jane's going to have this new purpose. Now she's going to want to go and do her superhero thing, right? So I believe that the way it's all going to end up, I think we're going to get introduced to Beta Ray Bill. He's going to get Stormbreaker. She's going to go off to there to be the new, you know, the new Thor in this MCU. And then, like I said, Guardians of the Galaxy is more, it's going to be more of a send-off, because, like, remember, he left with Guardians of the Galaxy. So that first, the first act is probably going to be him working with them, but not really, you know, not really in his place, right? And so when he starts going on his mission to defend the gods, then it's going to come into something of that nature. But I don't think, like, I don't think this movie ends with Thor being Thor again. It ends with whatever his new mission or his new focus is, and relinquishing the power to Jane and Beta Ray
Bill. And Valkyrie too. Don't forget.
Well, so basically going on his nomad tales, like they do have in the Marvel comics. There's a point where he does go on a travel of the universe while she is Thor.
I need an original brainwash, original Avengers being brainwashed with the young Avengers having to break them out of it. A movie of that.
If that's the case, I need that machine Thor too they had in Civil War. I need that. I need that, yo, because he was fire in Civil War as everyone created him. So that would be dope.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
I mean, but usually, like I said, if they do Young Avengers, you know, that's usually one of the things. Something happens to some main core or whatever the case may be, and then they need to, you know, help them out.
Well, even so, though, I don't think we're gonna get Young Avengers just yet. Yeah.
It's gonna be a while.
I think we are getting a different set of Avengers. Like, because remember, we still got Cap, we still got Kate Bishop, we got She-Hulk now, we still got War Machine, and we got the other Black Widow. So it's like,
and then don't forget, we're about to get Iron Lad when we see Black Panther.
And Ms. Marvel. and then we got all three of them apparently coming. So
it's like, y'all didn't even try to hide it, man. Like, y'all could have blended this up throughout the other movies, man. It's like, y'all giving us, y'all, in the past 4 years, y'all have given us 15 different young Avengers. And it's like, y'all didn't even try to hide what
they're trying to accomplish. They could be going the West Coast Avengers route.
And Ice Cube and
Kendrick Lamar.
In the latest West Coast Avengers, it's Kate Bishop and America Chavez. Now there's a couple of other people, but because those two are there and we've gotten America Chavez and Kate Bishop, I can see them forming the West Coast Avengers.
Crazy Captain America. What's his name?
U.S. Soldier.
But that was in West Coast Avengers. I forgot what that.
That's Thunderbolts. But that ties in with Wong, because if y'all remember Shang-Chi when he was fighting Abomination, he was training him. So I think, and he's also a part of the Thunderbolts program. Now the only thing about that, I don't know if that how they're gonna spend that, because of the fact that, you know, unfortunately, William Hurt, who plays the general who actually becomes Red Hulk, you know, he passed away in real life. So I don't know how they'll try to make that work, if they go bring Red Hulk in, or if they're just going to do an MCU version of the Thunderbolts. But U.S. Agent, Abomination are also a part of that series.
Yeah.
Which would be cool, because I think they could be introduced into the, like how we said, that's the more like Earth-based stuff. So it's like, that's something that Captain America, like if they made Captain America 4, that will be something dope for them to go off of. Like,
but how do they do that without talking about mutants then? Because like
I told you my theory on mutants, bro, which makes me think that shit gonna really happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like Clint, hear me out.
All right, talk to me.
This is how I think mutants are gonna get introduced. Earth-838 is where we're going to see mutants. And I think the incursion that is happening is with our Earth.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think we're going to have a battle between that Earth and this MCU. And that's where Scarlet Witch is going to do no more mutants and kill all of them on 838.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because if you think about it, look who's all in there. That's the whole Fox. All of them are on 838. I don't care what nobody say. Everything is on 838.
They're not getting rid of them. Man.
No, it's not going to be get rid of them, but they're going to have that moment because, like, I keep on telling people, I'm like, fam, they legit just went to that universe, fuck shit up, and bounce. Like,
there's definitely going to be consequences and repercussions for what happened at 838. Like, you got to tell me, you're not going to tell me you killed Professor Xavier. And you mean to tell me, like, we don't know, like, we're talking Jean Grey, Cyclops, so all them guys. I do, like what you said,
bro. The Inhumans, the whole Inhuman clan,
bro. Yeah. Niggas,
they killed Black Bolt.
Niggas gonna come back like, yo, like fam. There's still there's three other Fantastic Fours. Like there's a whole like that. The niggas
you
gonna
killed
come back
this
like
woman's husband.
Like bro, you can't just kill people and bounce and think nobody gonna retaliate.
And remember, they killed a British white woman, and you saw what British
did already said, and they already know about interdimensional travels and everything. Mm-hmm. Like they know, so they know exactly what happened. They like, yo, wait a minute, like they know. They probably just gearing up now. Like yo, we about to go over there and fuck them up.
Yo, and you know what? Something else though, I didn't catch till then. So somebody had pointed out like Reed Richards' teleportation stuff is similar to Nathan. No one ever put two and two together that they might be working with each other already.
Yep.
I didn't think about that till I saw that. I was like, yo, they might already be developing this technology as we speak. So he already may know a lot about this anyway.
Yeah, I really believe, like you said, I think 838 is going to play a bigger role than what they're making it seem. And here's the thing. We all know Marvel, like, bro, we still piecing together stuff that happened in Age of Ultron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was 7-8 years ago. Like, we're still piecing together things that happened in Age of Ultron. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, think about it. Even in 838, Age of Ultron exists because there's Ultron centuries.
It worked. Yeah. It worked there.
It worked.
Yeah, he figured it out. Do y'all think Marvel is bold enough to do a whole movie in the 838 universe?
Yeah,
I think you just need
an MCU. Never even acknowledge 626.
No. You need a 626 anchor. You at least need an anchor.
Well, they've been toying around with that, like because I don't know if you've been seeing some of the stuff that Feige and them have been saying, but like they've been saying things like, you know, like, oh yeah, man, we would love to do a superior Iron Man, you know, and just kind of see that, like they normally don't even entertain, you know, fan casting or fan theories, and lately they've been talking about it a lot. Like they've been saying things like, oh yeah, that would be really interesting to do that. Or, oh yeah, you know, we thought about doing that and giving out plots that they were going to explore, but they didn't. And I'm like, why are they giving us so much information all of a sudden? Because usually they used to be Iron Heights. Like you couldn't get no information from them.
Well, that's the thing too, I think, that makes this such an interesting time for Marvel, because you have the multiverse. Mm-hmm. So even seeing like, what's his face as Reed Richards, we asked for that. But again, too, technically, that's not our Reed Richards for the MCU.
But we
still got it. So I mean, it's like, yo, they can take these ideas in and go like, yo, man, let's test this out, because technically it's on another Earth. So let's see what it does.
Right. And what they could do is if the fans didn't like John Krasinski, then what they could get rid of him. But guess what?
Yeah.
They're going to bring him back.
They have to. Because it's going
to
cause more issues. It's funny because once you kill it, like we never had a Reed Richards that killed it. Like we had acceptable ones. Like, all right, he cool, whatever. But like John Krasinski was a fan casted. And in that small moment, he killed it enough that like, if you don't do it, the other person will have a hard ass time.
Hold up. Why y'all playing around? They still own the Fox universe. So they can bring back them other Fast and the Furious.
So
just to kind of kill them off. I mean, Fast and Furious.
Fantastic. No, they in here too.
You're going to bring back Dominic Toretto.
Family.
I said that too on Loki. I said, watch. They going to be talking to Kang and stuff like that. And Kang going to hear an engine roar, and he going to look, what is that? He going to look at the time stream. It's Dom in that car. Dom going to save the time stream.
But yeah, they can bring back the other two sets of Fantastic Fours just to kill them off or something.
But let's think about it like this. How crazy would it be if they gave us Chris Evans again as...
what?
Johnny Storm?
Confusing.
He did a good job. I enjoyed it though. I don't see why he couldn't come back. Is that honestly too with the multiverse? I wouldn't mind seeing Michael B. Jordan recast his Torch.
That man, that'd be so confusing. Like, is he Killmonger? Why is he on fire?
No, but that's the thing. That's why it's like if they do Secret Wars, like as MCU's Earth versus 838, you had that possibility because they can still recruit. Because here's another thing we still ain't really thought about too that we haven't really discussed. We saw Charles Xavier, but remember we saw the 90s cartoon, which means the rest of them exist on 838. In them costumes.
Yep.
So who's gonna get cast as Jean? Who's gonna be Cyclops? Because that's the best Cyclops from the 90s cartoon.
Oh, for sure.
Oh yeah, of course.
So who's gonna be that muscular haired motherfucker? Who's gonna be the short Wolverine in no suits? Because y'all shown that 838 is the one that's sticking to the classic suits.
And then also, how far is 838 as far as that? Because is Jean is she the Dark Phoenix or is she Jean Grey? Because if she's Dark Phoenix, and is she Dark Phoenix when she's corrupted or when she's kind of like, all right, I'm cool with y'all? Because if she's Dark Phoenix I'm cool with y'all, that means we're gonna get a Dark Phoenix Scarlet Witch face off, and that is going to be beastie as fuck.
Also, too, Apocalypse. Wow. If that's the case, Apocalypse is here.
Yeah.
Cable had that mean they know who Cable is,
man.
Wow,
we have those in there too. And then also as well, what can really connect that, and I keep saying it and I hope they do it, Deadpool was a part of X-Men. Imagine him popping up there. It's like, oh man, this seems like this is the place for me.
Hey, did y'all see that meme? Because I like that meme that like they said that they hope that the way that they bring X-Men to the Marvel universe is just the scene of a Deadpool at a laptop and he drags and drops X-Men from Fox folder to a Marvel folder.
That is
folder.
Hilarious.
And I said,
that is hilarious.
That would be hilarious for Deadpool. Yeah. I was like, and it was like, no explanation, no nothing. Scene of him dragging and dropping from one folder to another and just move forward.
And say some witty shit.
Some witty ass shit. Yeah,
and there you have it. Just fits like that. Let me ask y'all something. If you had the opportunity to be on set of Thor, or any of these shows that was a big, like the Andrew Garfield reveal or the Patrick Stewart. If you were there, you had the opportunity to see this in person, being filmed. And they say, this is an NDA, you can't tell nobody. Would you honestly keep it to yourself?
No.
Hell no.
Like, that's what I'm saying. No. That's what I'm saying. Like, I go to my girl
I'll be honest, so fast, like, nigga.
It depends on my friends. So, like, if y'all really don't like spoilers, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's like, if you're like a guy or if you're somebody who really, really is into this shit and you're like, yo, like, give me the tea. I'm spilling the tea.
If you say I will beat your ass, you can't say nothing. I signed the NDA. Please don't say nothing.
Oh yeah, I'll tell y'all real quick because they don't give black people enough credit for shit we know. So I don't want to be like it came out and I knew and I didn't tell you. I'm like, no, I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I would definitely.
Somebody gonna know. I knew before this came.
That's like a cancer inside, man.
I guarantee you, though, that set was closed as fuck.
And as a producer, I get why they did the fake Statue of Liberty because nobody was on set except the actors.
Yep.
And that's why they did the separate scripts and Illuminati. There was no other extras there.
Speaking of which, though, I think we're going to get our own. I think that's what's going to happen. The fact that Strange. Yeah, I think that Strange met them. I think he knows that makes sense to have, and he's going to form that. Because that's why they're bringing in Namor, too, because Namor was the only one missing from that.
Namor is definitely going to be in Black Panther.
And remember, that was the whole underlying theme of Doctor Strange. It was like, fam, you always got to be the one that hold the knife. And so within this movie and him finally trusting in American Chavez, like, and now his knowledge of the Illuminati, I can see him saying like, all right, yeah, I got to stop getting out of me and the one that hold the knife and start to form the Illuminati.
Is he really like that in this universe, though? Because, like, we've looked and seen, like, I mean, just as much as we've seen Tony Stark have a character arc and stuff like that, Doctor Strange did, too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he didn't have to, you know, I remember his actions in Endgame. He didn't, or in Infinity War. I mean, he had to do it, but he didn't have to do that.
But he did. But see, that's the thing. Like, I think he's further in his character development, but you still got to remember the way that people are treating him. Like he made the decision. Like when old boy asked them, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you made the decision, and people keep on coming to him. Cause even with how he did in No Way Home, it, like he had, all right, we got to kill him. Right. And he didn't really want to see Peter or Aunt May's other, you know, other side of the story and stuff like that. So I think though he's not exactly like 838, you know, Strange, he still has those moments where if he feels like he got to be the one that does it. So I think that that's still his continuous character arc of trying to, you know, get out of that. And I think by the end of Strange, he's kind of more so out of it. And now, like I said, I can see that the new wave is like, okay, let's get this together. Let's get the Illuminati together.
Also, too, though, I think his the difference between him and the other Strangers that he encountered was one common factor. All of them were Sorcerer Supreme, and he wasn't. So that taught him a lot of humility, too, and stuff, because of the simple fact that no one can check you as Sorcerer Supreme. So he was, so even if he'd have did that snap at Sorcerer Supreme, he wouldn't have had to take that scrutiny on. Now that you like having to report places, even like showing like with watching him with Wong and not bowing to him, it was like, yo, that was another thing of showing you like, yo, you're breaking your stride to what leads to your downfall, like these other Strangers. And that's even like seeing like with America Chavez and like instead of taking a power, it's like, no, you can do it. You have planned this for it. I'm lying like hell, but I'm encouraging you to dig deep down because I don't know if you can really do this. But it's better than me sucking the soul out of you to try to do it myself. And so I think that's what makes him different. And I think even too, like his third eye, I think his is, I think they're going to differentiate those eyes with different stuff. Like I think his is going to be the real eye of Agamotto. And I think like the one that the other Strange has might be from a different, sinister, darker place.
You know what bothered me? They didn't let Mr. Fantastic use any of his powers, man. Like, at all. everyone else got to use their powers.
He you did know? This. we didn't even get to see the full stretch.
He came in and we saw the stretch.
No, he came in through the little portal.
Yeah, he didn't stretch.
Oh, no. Everyone
threw something. They used their powers. They shot. They, you know, threw something. He just came in.
He should have just powered by dying.
Right. Yeah. Wrap her up or something.
Be like, yo, you can't treat this dude like you treated him like Gumby. That's not right. He ain't gonna do that bad. But so some of the things too I wanted to point out, like just trying to get back to with Thor, Love and Thunder.
Oh, damn.
Some of the other stuff that we're seeing from even just talking about all of this stuff that can even more be confirmed because of what we've seen in the trailer. Like even seeing like when Jane lifts the hammer and everybody's talking about, you can see all those statues in the back. So it's like, yo, we can now confirm that, like, yo, they are really pulling from What If. So What If is something to continue to watch, to continue to see, and them seeing what can be developed. Because we saw that the Watcher exists. We went from three Watchers that talked to Stan Lee to now just this one figure. So it's like, yo, he is in existence here. That is happening. But like how something you said, Deuce, in the previous episode, there could be a universe where Ultron is fucking shit up right now.
Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah. And then, like I said, I love the fact, like I said, even the small details, because like even with Mjolnir being like it had cosmic energy blowing through that motherfucking hammer. And so it's like, yo, like, okay, one, I want to know how, like again, to see that story of either Jane finding the pieces of it or the like, did it find her? Like
I don't think it moved.
It didn't move from that spot.
I don't think it moved from that spot.
Have y'all seen the trailer when she threw it? the pieces broke apart and then it came back together. So now there's like a spreading weapon.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
I missed that. I didn't see
that. Because it's cracked.
The rocks broke apart.
I saw the crack.
Yeah. That's her. That's the actual thing. It breaks apart now because it's not holds the
stick
cool together.
And it comes back to the stick.
But how did how does she get to it? Like I want to see that. Like did she go on a journey? Was she looking for more? Because remember, isn't that area New Asgard? That's where Hela destroyed it.
But it's right? where it was destroyed. So if you look at it too on the in the image, like where the where they show like the cruise ships and stuff, there's that part, that big grass part, that's where it happened. So that's where if you see like there's a person there, that's where the hammer was placed at. And so it was still just laying there because again, can't nobody pick it up. But two. We again, this is the MCU, so they might change that. So it might Mjolnir could have lost that power when it was destroyed, and now it is just weapons and stuff like that.
And then like, I love that we got a glimpse at Olympus, like being able to see Olympus like what that. It looked, and that's one of the things that I love about the Thor series, even as bad as you know the second movie was. When they went to Ragnarok, when Ragnarok happened, but anytime that they went to Asgard or we go to these mythical areas, it looks amazing. And I was like, that world building is so dope. And so it's like, you know, when you think about Olympus and think about the gods and everything, like, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I thought Olympus would look like. And that, I thought that was pretty dope.
Oh yeah, I did too. I thought it was cool too, but I also like the fact of them mixing like Norse mythology and Greek mythology together too. And I also find it funny though that they put Greek mythology above the Asgardians. So they the one, because like I didn't realize that till I was watching the watching like some of the stuff that they were talking about and then seeing some of the comic issues and like how they have it. So it's like us, the then like the gods. And then like the Titans and stuff like that. And then it goes to the Olympians and then it goes to like the Celestials and stuff like that. Yeah. And so it was just like, it's funny to see like, yo, like Zeus talking to Thor like this and y'all basically the same person. Yeah. But I also think too, that is something that's also going to change. Wow. That is right. I just thought about it. That's right. That's where the Eternals come in, Dion. That is definitely going to happen. Gore is going to kill all the Olympians. The Eternals are going to take over because in the book, Thor is an Eternal.
Is he?
Yes, Thor is an Eternal in the comic book.
Oh, okay.
That's what's going to happen. He's going to take Zeus's spot, and I think he's going to start to become the consul of that. And like how you said, Jane is going to become Thor, continue to take that, and he's going to sit on the high consul with the rest of the Eternals.
So he's going to become a god. A god, like a god of gods.
Yeah, I think he's gonna step above from his Asgardianship and move like right directly below the Celestials, and he'll have to report to them.
What do y'all like the casting of Russell Crowe as Zeus?
Yeah, I like
Russell Crowe.
It's Russell. You know you're gonna get a good job with Russell. There ain't nothing Russell's done. We just like,
ooh. Yeah, man. But Christian Bale was all. Awesome casting.
Yes,
man.
let's get to that.
Christian Bale, I mean, you're talking about somebody who, to me, I mean, look, man, I don't care. I know I'm not a DC guy, but to me, he's the best Batman, and it ain't close. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, just me. You know, I mean, like, I mean, you're the best Batman in the best Batman franchise or the best Batman trilogy I've watched. I mean, again, I'm not a DC guy. I don't get into that, but to pivot from that. Into now you're the villain, and like you're not a BS villain. You a legit villain,
man.
He looks like he looked like he's about it. I like this.
Yes, yeah. He looked like just coming in with the black and white contrast and stuff like that. Like he looked like yo, you caused some damage. Like that Thanos was cool. It was like yo, like it was like damn, Thanos really did that, but. You wasn't scared of Thanos. It'd be like, yo, man, hey, I don't care what you did to the Hulk. I'll sock you out, bro. Run up.
Yeah.
Oh, you got some little jewels on your hand. But Gore, you'd be like, nah, I ain't going over there. There's some people you just don't mess with. I don't go to Gore.
And I think that's because of, like I said, I feel like we're getting more scarier villains now. Because if you think about it, up until this point, our villains wasn't as creepy or scary. Mm-hmm. Scarlet Witch was literally like the first one that had you go, oh shit. And so now, you know, we're getting gore, like, you know what I'm saying? And like, is we getting to those areas? Because, like, matter of fact, like I said, going back to the Eternals, the Celestials, when you seen them and how massive they was, shit, that was creepy. Just seeing those eyes open up in the world, like, yo, like that, like, so it's like, now we're getting into this level of, all right, now we got to show the people who, like, when you see them, it's instant. Oh shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's what Marvel is giving us now.
Yeah. I also, I saw some things, you know, on the internet talking about, if you've seen like the original Gore, the God Butcher, and how he looks, a lot of people were, somewhat a little bit taken back that it was just Christian Bale, like still kind of in the regular form. But one thing I had noticed was I don't think this is Christian Bale's like final form. I think they are going to kind of do like a Dragon Ball Z, like Frieza type stuff. Because if you notice in the trailer, when he first comes out those tentacles and he takes off the hood, it's not showing Christian Bale's face. Like, it's showing like a different type of looking figure with the glowing eyes than Christian Bale's face comes out. So I think he is transforming the more he kills gods. And I think we will get to see like that monstrous type of look before the end of this film is done. How do y'all feel about that?
I do see the same thing you see. I saw that he, like, because I saw like a more human form of him. Like, there was one shot where he was talking and I could literally see Christian Bale's face. Like, I could see, like, I'm like, oh, because at first he didn't look like Christian Bale. I'm like, this is Christian Bale? And I'm like, then I realized like he's bald and blah, 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 blah. But then I realized I'm looking at him and I'm like, okay, this guy looks like Christian Bale. But then the part you said you saw, it looked like he was, like I said, he was taking another form or he was evolving.
Yeah.
So yes, because like my thing is, even though Christian Bale by himself and that when in that role and that look that I saw him in, he looks sinister, but he doesn't look like nobody that Thor can't take out with just one. You know what I mean? Like when you got a villain, like one thing to me that made Thanos not only he just was bad, it was just he looked tough.
Yeah.
He looked the part. Like he looked like he could beat everybody the fuck up. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But that's what made Gore a lot more scarier because it's like
he's not.
Yo, he don't look like that. And then two, it's like, yo, now you've had like even like how Deuce has said, like, where is he left off and like the gods that he's slain? It's like, yo, this little dude killed that. Yeah. How this dude killed this god, this person, these mega gargantuan type of creatures? It's like, yo. And then the fact of, like, again, like, even the area he's in, like, how do you turn off the color in reality? I don't even know how you do that.
Right.
I can't wait to see them explain that about him. And then, too, I said in the previous episode, I still want to see how they're going to loop around Gore's sword. Because Gore's sword is originally, it's from the symbiotic.
And that's what I was symbiotes. Just about to bring that up, bro.
So it's just like, yo, how are y'all going? Because the sword manipulates, so it changes and stuff like that. So it makes sense why he's able to do that, because he can fly and he has super strength. So it makes sense why he can do all this stuff. But it's like, how are you going to introduce that with this, knowing that, you know, all of that is over on Sony? So how is this?
Do you think they used that little piece of symbiote that was left over by Venom? That guy, because remember, that was that. So technically, he's our first person that came over from another, from a whole another franchise, right? It was him. Mm-hmm. That was that first sign, right? And so it's like, what are the implications of that? Like you went back to your world. You got pulled back into your world, but a piece of you is still here. Is this symbiote different? And did it latch on to Gore? And that's what made Gore the God Butcher. Like, so, like, because also, are they going to do the whole, you know, the death of his son storyline? Like, it's like they're going to have to explain why he's butchering those gods, but also how did he get this symbiote powers? Like, why? Where did this come from? And the only symbiote that we know of right now is Venom.
Well, technically, yes, but there is also another spot to that they have not touched on and they haven't confirmed yet. So you remember in Guardians of the Galaxy when they went to nowhere and stuff, and it's in a floating head. Nowhere was one of those gods as well, and Null is the one that killed him with that sword.
Oh, okay.
And so that's the person that chopped that head off. So that's where how Nowhere got established. So if they're still using that lore in the MCU, then that is where that sword could have came from, because that's where Null birthed the symbiotes.
Okay.
So it could just be a toxin as well, and or something like that, and they haven't named it yet. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I can see them really getting a like around it and stuff like that. Because I still want to see Gore with that black hood man.
You
I want to see him put that and got that sword, and they just going
gotta
crazy.
Have that drip. Gotta have that drip.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But so as you said, Clint, I want to know from y'all. Do y'all think this is the last time Chris Hemsworth's like sign off?
I think this is last stand. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that we because my thing is if we go with the theory, which I think that Deuce is right, where Thor becomes Thor becomes above the gods and he becomes just an all powerful being. And only the person that he answers to is the Celestials. Yeah, I think that's it. I don't think we need to see him again. Because my thing is, and it goes on par with who we're not seeing again. We're not going to see Clint Barton anymore. We're not going to see Tony Stark anymore. It doesn't look like we're going to see Captain Steve Rogers anymore. We're not going to see the Black Widow anymore. What's her name?
Natasha. Natasha.
We're not going to see Romanoff no more. And then don't forget She-Hulk is coming out. That's another in August. We get to see what's going to happen with Mark Ruffalo, which I don't think if you know what I'm saying. But like, think about that. And in a 2 years time, we're going to see the original Avengers. You know what I'm saying? All disappear.
Yep. I think like the way they're going to send them off is that, okay, like in 10, 15 years, if we need to bring you back for like a quick cameo, we can do that. But like, as far as that, like, I think this is going to be, because it seems like that's what they're doing. They're on this run of giving everybody their official send off.
They have to.
They're giving everybody their moment where it's like, you're still in the story, but you can actually go.
Like you said, moment. Tony Stark's moment was he had the biggest moment. He made the ultimate sacrifice. That he doesn't need a show or anything like that. That is his moment. Boom. Again, Steve Rogers, you could kind of tie it in. They kind of did with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But, I mean, we saw what happened in Endgame. He went back, did what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. He moved on. And then again, you got these, you know, Hawkeye got his send off, and you know, Romanoff got her send off. I believe this is Thor's send off. This is it.
Because Wakanda Forever is going to be technically T'Challa's send off. They said that they're not going to recast another T'Challa, so we're going to get whoever's going to don the new Black Panther suit. We're going to get that. They're setting up the new wave.
The direction that Disney is going to, like, you got to remember, like, we're 35 and stuff like that, right? But there's new characters that these people need to grow up on that's going to change, you know, that they're going to, you know, they're going to become, it's going to be different in a few years, you know what I'm saying?
And they're doing that now, though, not to cut you off, but they're doing that now, as we see with like Gore the Thought, God Butcher. Like, he didn't premiere till like recently, like in 2012. Same thing with Kate Bishop. Like, most of Kate Bishop, America Chavez, a majority of them have like
comics. Yeah,
no, they're not. Like, they started in the either early 2000s or the early 2010s and are now making their way into the MCU already. So, like you said, it is very great to see that get established too, because it's like, okay, we don't have to wait too long for like stuff we be wanting to see like that pop up, even like this new stuff. Like, I like the fact of, I never thought I'd see Gore the God Butcher this early. Like, I was like, yo, we'll probably never see this guy.
It's very smart if you think about it too, with them introducing all the other Earths and stuff like that, because then it says, like, if we need to go back, and let's say we want to do one of those classic storylines, we can, because now we establish that there's different universes. But now we have the luxury of being the first person to portray something on film with these newer characters that are still rocking right now, right? So it's kind of smart on their half, because now they don't have to they don't have to be prisoner to, oh, we got to do the, no, we got to do House of M, we got to do this, because it's like, no, we listen, we are acknowledging that this universe and this comic book universe is actually canon. So yeah, we can maybe go back and portray it if we need to, but we're telling these new stories and we're shaping these new characters and giving more lore to these characters. I think that that's really smart as far as business wise.
Yeah, right, I agree. But before we do get out of here, I do got one more question for y'all. As y'all did, y'all mentioned Beta Ray Bill and Valkyrie and stuff like that, and Gamora. Who else would you like to see make a cameo in Thor Love and Thunder? Even if it's from like the smallest thing to where it doesn't have a big impact, or even someone being unveiled, who would you like to see make some cameos in this movie?
If we go on like just awesome cameo shit, like, what's that dude name from the, when he was in Ragnarok? What's the guy's name? Oh my God. What's the planet that he went to?
Ego.
Ego. Was it Ego? No. What's the planet he went to?
Let me start right now.
No. In Ragnarok, he got beat up by his sister, right?
Yeah.
What planet is that he's on where he fights Thor or he fights Hulk?
You talking about
the guy with the blue thing on his lip?
Battle planet or something like that?
No, it's an actual planet. But the guy, well,
yeah, it is.
But yeah, that guy with the blue lip, I want him.
Oh, you talking about the car?
Yes,
the car. That's what it's called.
It's a car.
Are you talking about the one that ran it?
Yeah, I want him.
Yeah, he's talking about Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum's
game. Yeah, I would like to see.
Yeah, because isn't his brother the other dude? Aren't they brothers? Isn't it?
Yeah. The collector. The collector. They all have like those type of names and stuff like that. Yeah, I would love to see him come back too.
Yeah.
I would love to see Howard the Duck. I don't care. I love Howard the Duck. I would love to see him just make a cameo. The Duck is
my man. Yo, don't forget he made a cameo in What If.
And what if too? Yeah,
yep. He came out the portal with the gun in Endgame.
They just didn't show a fight. And I was like, it's about that life. Y'all can't tell me nothing.
I was going to say for me, I do want at least Thor to be made aware that Loki is out there doing something crazy, because
yeah, that's real.
Up until this point. Yeah. Like he's dead, he's gone, and everything like that.
Damn, you know what?
So for him to have something where it was like, wait, what? Loki is doing that
That might be a end credit scene, because don't forget, man. Like we just said, Don't forget. Oh, there's an Easter egg where Thor has a tattoo of his brother on his back.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It says RP Loki with the horns and stuff like that. But also, don't forget, like what Loki did flip the whole. He changed the universe. So Loki's not dead.
Technically, he is dead, and that's the reason why we had the Loki series, because technically he's not supposed to be there. He's technically a variant. So one thing also too about that though, that's another thing that is causing a rift, and I think like you said, is changing things. So remember, like how the former Sorcerer Supreme said. If you move something out of this time, it starts to change these things. So what we're seeing is that, technically Loki never died. Which means that all these things that happened technically really did not happen yet.
Yep.
And it's now starting to split this reality.
Yep. Yeah. And you know what? That may be what's Thor's drive at the end of this movie be. It may be like, he gets understanding of what's going on, and now he's like, well, I need to go find Loki or whoever this other Loki is, and so that gives him his mission on why we don't see him in the normal, MCU timeline, because now his goal is that, you know what I'm saying, and like that kind of gives him where he's focused towards and gives him his nomad moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would also be a great nomad moment for him to go off and be able to do his own thing.
Yeah,
man, it's a lot of potential there. It's a lot of potential to be there. I would love to see just some more hints of Guardians of the Galaxy. Something maybe to do. I don't want to see Nova yet, but I would like a mention of him.
Oh, that'd be fire.
At least a mention of him, maybe something about Gamora, and then something to let us know that this Adam Warlock thing is still a go.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah,
I think something would add. I think Adam Warlock would be a great like introduction in showing this.
I feel like we're gonna get something because you got to think also like even like once you start dealing with interstellar and intergalactic travel and just in general, like they may do something like there's this thing going around killing planets. Right, and that may be like a nod to Silver Surfer. So like we may not get Silver Surfer, or they may not even say Galactus, but they just may be like, you may hear, like they got Korg telling these stories. So he may be telling a story like, and then like right now, like some crazy shit going on.
There's a guy with a surfboard.
Yeah. There's a little silver guy on a little surfboard, goes right through space, picking out planets, and then somehow they get destroyed. I don't know.
Yeah, we may get something like that that is like, it's not nothing like focused, but it's like, oh shit, I know what he's talking about, you know? So,
that actually would be a fire Easter egg in itself, like, as like how he showed in the trailer, him talking to the kids and stuff. Yeah. It could be another one, like, where one of them walk up and then they go, yo, what's this one? And then it could be in, like how you say, it could be any of that. It could even be like the Nova imprint, it could be any one of those, and he finna mention that stuff. Yeah. And he just tells me like, yo, well, then let me tell you another story. And then it just goes off. And it's like, oh, shit. So I could definitely see that happening, man. But it looks like Thor Love and Thunder is going to have a huge impact on the MCU. As y'all said, like, it's Chris Hemsworth and y'all believe his final send-off, which I think, too, is a great spot, especially if they are leading him to be a nomad. Great retirement film. Great retirement film to say goodbye to and to open us up a little bit more to the galaxy, like you said, the interstellar MCU, man. So as y'all know, man, we only try to keep this thing for about an hour because as you can see with Dion, folks are busy, man. I hate to keep people more than when they need to. So I want to thank y'all for checking out this episode. And we want to know from you in the comments below, what do you think? Is this Chris Hemsworth send off film, or do you think that we are going to get to keep seeing Chris Hemsworth remain as Thor? But before we get out of here, of course, I always like to make sure that my guests get to tell us where to follow them and what they got going, and you know how y'all can support them. Clint, you are up first. We'll hit up Deuce and then we'll call this thing out.
All right, man, just Clint Coley on Instagram. Don't forget, you know, World Series of Spades. Make sure you watch, make sure you you don't got to do nothing. Just watch. All right, that's it. You know, I just like talking Marvel, man. I don't give a shit, man.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit, man. Like, I'm not here to get no followers, man. I just want to talk. I just want to talk Marvel with my friends, man. That's it, man.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure to have you on here. Deuce, yeah, same thing as well. And you are up.
All right, well, it's Young_Deuces everywhere. Now, I am trying to get some followers, so definitely follow me. I need them followers. By the time this comes out, my interview with Ottavio Samuels, the CEO of Revolt, should be out. And I'm calling that one out specifically because, you know, we're talking about culture, talking about blurred culture, being black geeks, and Revolt is one of the leaders in hip hop culture. So this conversation is so dope. We talk about a lot about culture, about building culture, and just speaking with somebody that's involved in the culture in general. It's such a dope episode. So make sure y'all check that out on youtube.com/geeksetpodcast. The only podcast that blend hip hop culture and geek culture together in one place.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And of course, just to also piggyback off of that, you can also check those out on the RK Tokens page. Yeah. We always want to make shout them out. The expansion pack is back. Yes. It is dropping next week. You can catch the Geek Set podcast. You can also catch Shred of a Comic Book on the RK Tokens of YouTube channel. We give you 5 minutes of it for you to get a taste. Then you come back and check it out on our respective channels. But you can get original content that, again, will be dropping next week. Z-Force, Apex Zone, Now Loading, and so much more. You'll see these faces on there as well. Make sure you follow me, of course, at Will Ferrell Everything. And just make sure you comment, like this video, tell people to come check out some incredible black men, come and talk about incredible things going on in the comic book universe. Shout out to Dion Lack, of course, is always busy at LTE Studios doing this thing, trying to make sure he's keeping everything running. Shout out to y'all, and we will catch you next time.